Okay.
This is Deanna Spingola. It is Monday, June. No, it isn't June. It's July 2nd, 2012. And this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is John Friend. His website is johnfriendsblog.blogspot.com. Now, you just recently changed that, didn't you, John?
I did, yeah. I originally wanted it to be, just my name, .blogspot.com, but it unfortunately wasn't available. So I just noticed I was able to change it a couple of days ago, so I did go ahead and update it.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. You've written a lot of very interesting things. What are you working on now?
Well, I kind of started out getting into this, shortly after I graduated from college. I moved to San Diego, California, and I'd always been sort of interested in alternative politics, and, I was very much anti-war, and, I could just recognize that things were not right. And as soon as I moved to San Diego, I ran into the San Diegans for 9/11 Truth Group. And 9/11 wasn't anything that I really looked into when I was in college even in high school. I was a sophomore in high school when it happened. And I didn't really think too much about it. I definitely was against the war. I was learning about how we were torturing all these people over in Guantanamo. And, you could just really tell something was not right. And so as soon as I showed up in San Diego, I heard about this group. And I went to one of their meetups. And usually what they do is once a month they'll screen a film. And I believe the first time I went, they screened Loose Change. And, obviously there's some major gatekeeping going on in that film. But, for somebody that had never really looked into 9/11, it's a good wake-up call for sure. And as soon as I watched it, I immediately, right off the bat, I knew for sure that 9/11 was an inside job. I mean, it's so clear once you really look at it. So ever since then, I've just kind of been researching 9/11, and I kind of got stuck in the whole Alex Jones, phase where I thought that was he was the guy to go to for the truth, and I was kind of stuck listening to his radio show and some some people similar to him for about 3 months or so, and then I started reading I'm the Witness, which is a Daryl Bradford Smith site, and I came across actually Zion Crime Factory's article, which he originally wrote for the Information Underground, which was the Israel Did 9/11, All the Proof in the World. And as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, wow, I've just reached, a whole new level here. Everything made sense. And, for the longest time, when I was looking at 9/11, it didn't really make sense. I clearly it was an inside job, but, how everything fit together didn't make sense. And then once I started looking into, the Israeli angle and sort of just, understanding the historical role of international Jewry and, how they basically control the media, the banks, our government, things really started clicking. And that's pretty much what I've been doing ever since. I started the blog, I think in late 2010, and I've just sort of been using it as a way to express some thoughts and, post some important information that I think, everybody should be aware of. And also it's a good tool to have. A lot of times I just like using it to show my friends and family, like, look, you can go to my website and you can find all sorts of good information, not even necessarily from me, but from all sorts of, good sources. So.
Right. Now, do your friends and family agree with your conclusions?
I've heard you talk about your experience, trying to convert some of your friends and family, and it's tough. It's really difficult. To be honest with you, I haven't really had a lot of success. More often than not, it's just sort of this, that they don't really want to know about it. They don't want to confront it, I think, is mainly what it is. I think deep down they know that, what I'm saying is true, but it's just such a psychological hurdle to get over to confront these issues and really try to deal with them, because I mean, we're watching our world completely be destroyed by these people, and we're still afraid to call them out and to actually, organize and do something about it. So I mean, it's really been a struggle. I think I've definitely alienated some friends, not necessarily my family, but some friends I think I've definitely alienated along the way. But, you know, as soon as I started the blog, I knew that was going to happen. I knew it, you know, it was going to come down to that. And, you know, this is the route that I've decided to take. You know, we got to speak the truth, you know, while we're here on earth. You know, that's my philosophy.
Right. Now you mentioned that you had discovered that there are some gatekeepers.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, I was kind of, like I said, I was kind of stuck in the whole Alex Jones crowd. And you know, that just that sort of the, you know, the government's evil, the Nazis are coming to get us, the blah blah blah, you know, all that nonsense. And you know, after I kind of got out of that, you know, I was reading some different websites and some different blogs, and you know, reading a bunch of different books. You know, I read The Protocols, and as soon as I read that, you know, everything really clicked even more after discovering who really did 9/11. And you know, I started listening to Michael Collins Piper. You know, a lot of the sources that I have linked on my blog are some of the main people that I really have turned to for good, accurate information that are definitely going to go all the way and give you the full truth, and they're not going to, you know, hold back on anything or give you disinformation about World War II, and you know, Adolf Hitler, because there's so much disinformation about Adolf Hitler and World War II, and there's a lot of people that either don't want to get into World War II or just flat out are wrong. You know, like Alex Jones, and you know, I hate to do this because I really do. I used to really like Michael Rivero, and you know, he just constantly harps on the Nazis, how the police state in America is, you know, the Nazis, and it's just so ridiculous. We have all these Jews passing all these laws. You know, the whole entire thing is one big Jewish, you know, operation from top to bottom. The whole war on terror, the whole entire police state. You know, the ADL is very much involved, and you know, every time that we see another tyrannical piece of legislation being passed, it's not by the Nazis, it's by the Jews that control America. So you know, I've really just had to start, you know, kind of setting some litmus tests, and this is something that I know you've talked about with ZCF. You know, if people aren't going to go all the way when it comes to 9/11. And you know, really expose that it was Israel that did it with, you know, the Jews that run America and the media. If they're not going to talk about the Holocaust, which is an absolute fraud and a slander against the German people and really Europe and all white people, or you know, in America, because really they've used that to sort of have this major guilt trip on all of us, like it was our fault that we didn't do anything, and the whole entire thing is a manufactured, made up event. And in fact, one of the things that I've been doing, you know, the past 6 months or so, ever since I've really started listening to your radio show, which is phenomenal, by the way. I love your radio show. You always have phenomenal guests on with great information. I've really started to take a closer look at World War II, and I basically come to the conclusion that everything is the exact opposite. The Nazis and the Germans were not the bad guys. They were, in fact, fighting the good fight. And the Allies, which were completely dominated and controlled and still are controlled by international Jewish interests, were in fact the aggressors. You know, they were the murderers. They destroyed German cities. They firebombed German cities. They nuclear bombed, you know, Japanese cities. And, you know, if you take a look at what the Soviet Union did all across Eastern Europe, you know, all across Russia, these people were the butchers. And, you know, they were financed and controlled by international Jewish interests from the beginning. So everything is really distorted and everything is completely backwards when we look at World War II. And you know, one of the big hurdles I think that is taken anybody, you know, me, everybody, anybody that looks into it, is to really take a look at what Adolf Hitler stood for and, you know, some of the things that he was doing, some of the things that he was writing about and speaking about, and some of the things that he was advocating for. And I think it's pretty clear that this guy was on the right side. You know, people may not agree with everything that he said or did, but you know, he was clearly not the monster that you know, the mainstream media would have you believe.
Right. And of course, most people really don't read what he said and don't really look at what he did. They just listen to the mainstream media, the educational apparatus in this country, the politicians, and the gatekeepers, and they figure they have it all figured out, and he was a bad guy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And one of the things that I did, ever since I started listening to your program, I love when you have Veronica Clark on because she is so such a good source for this information. I bought her book, The Hitler and Himmler Uncensored, and right on the back cover of it, there's a quote from Adolf Hitler in the speech that's translated in the book. And I'm just going to read this real quick because it really stood out to me, and it really caught my attention right away. And he said, basically, he's referring to the National Socialist German Workers' Party. He says, "Leadership in this party is not based on wealth or the social standing of the parents, but on ability, regardless of upbringing, and that ability will be systematically further encouraged." And I really thought that was just so profound because isn't that what America is supposed to be about?
Well,
And
that's what they say it's about. The rhetoric is it's very noble and everything, but it's very inaccurate.
yeah, exactly. And he was exactly right. I mean, Adolf Hitler lived up to this, I think, from the research that I've done. He was honest about this. He really was trying to develop, a meritocratic system, and really rebuild the entire German nation because they were completely destroyed in World War I. And after World War I, they were completely betrayed by their own government, that went along with the Versailles Treaty and, all these. They basically transferred a whole bunch of German land over to Poland and France and other countries. And it was really just a grave injustice that I don't even think I've fully come to appreciate because, I mean, it's really unbelievable once you really start looking into this stuff, how just unjust and backwards everything was. I mean, the German people have been slandered so tremendously that, it's just really a shame. And I mean, part of my background is, my dad's side of the family is mostly German. And, this is something that I haven't really looked into, like I said. And once you do, it's really quite alarming because, like I said, everything is backwards.
Right. Now, have you talked to your father about this? About your new discoveries about Germany?
I have, well, not necessarily about Germany. I've definitely talked to him about a lot of the stuff that I do on my blog. And now that I think, I'm definitely going to send him this interview that we do. And maybe I'll try to pursue it a little bit further. But like I said, I think it's one of those things where, they didn't really want to deal with it, to tell you the truth. But who knows? We'll see. I mean, we got to start somewhere, and we got to, that what's most important to me is my family and my friends. And I know this is a hard struggle to get people to understand these issues, and not even to understand them, but just to look into it for themselves. Because if you look into it, you'll understand that.
Are you there? John, are you there? Whoops, I think we've lost each other. Okay.
Sorry about that. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It must have been something you said.
I'm sorry. I forget where we left off.
Well, you were talking about your dad and that you thought that you might be able to share this interview with your dad. And, we were talking back and we were emailing back and forth back in March of this year, and you were talking about having this kind of a litmus test about the truth movement, and we were talking about a couple of people that that you felt may be gatekeepers, and then you created a actually 4 points that you thought demonstrated whether people were actually telling the truth or they were cowardice. And number one, you said, if you are unwilling to say that Israel and Jews did 9/11, you are a coward and have no place in this movement. Number two, if you're unwilling to say Jews control the media, Wall Street, the Fed, and the government, you are a coward and have no place in this movement. Number three, if you are unwilling to say Israel is a criminal, parasitic, illegitimate, fraudulent state, you are a coward and have no place in this movement. Number four, if you are unwilling to say the Holocaust is a fraud and a Jewish racket, you are a coward and have no place in this movement. Do you still stand by that?
Absolutely. I mean, the truth hurts, and those are some harsh words, but I mean, it's true. I mean, we've put up with this criminal network. And one of the things I was going to say is that delving into the Jewish question, I've come to the conclusion that basically Judaism is a criminal, international criminal network that masquerades as a religion. And not only a religion, but a persecuted, powerless, minority at that. So, I mean, we really got to understand that this is a criminal network that basically uses their religion and their distortions of history against us. And we can't put up with their lies anymore. I mean, we've done it for so long. It's time to finally speak the truth and call a spade a spade. And, you know, there definitely are people doing that nowadays, like you and Charlie Giuliani, you know, Zion Crime Factory, Jonathan Azizaya, many others. And well, maybe not many others, but a few others. And you know, I think the time is finally come to put an end to this madness that it's gone on for so long. And you know, we really got to start thinking about the most effective ways to organize to, you know, put an end to this crime spree.
Right. Now you, on Saturday, June 16th, you wrote an article called Rethinking Hitler and National Socialism. You did an excellent job. Why don't you go through some of the finer points of that article for us?
Sure. Yeah, well, I kind of just start off by explaining, you know, how I kind of started re-examining and relearning much of this history, you know, mostly by listening to your radio show and reading ZCF and Carolyn Yeager and Veronica and Michael Collins Piper and others. And when I, oh gosh, when was it? It was probably about a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago. I watched Jim Condit Jr.'s video about the final solution to Adolf Hitler and his contention that Hitler was either Jewish or a Rothschild agent or, you know, some Illuminati agent or whatever you want to call it. And I didn't, I mean, I've always tried to keep an open mind about everything ever since I've started, you know, researching this stuff. And I sort of bought into it. I thought it, you know, it might have had some merit, but I didn't really pursue it. And then, you know, recently I.
Let me bring that phrase you just used. You didn't really pursue it. You didn't really pursue looking into Hitler anymore.
Well, this was back when I first watched the Jim Condit video.
Right.
And this was about a year and a half ago or so. I, you know, I watched it and I thought it was interesting and I sort of left it at that. I didn't really write about it or anything like that on my blog.
But did you think that you might want to look into Hitler a little bit more to see if that was true? Or did you kind of believe that maybe he might have been Jewish and that he might have been a Rothschild?
Well, I mean, I thought he raised some interesting points. You know, I wasn't really, to tell you the truth, I wasn't really convinced either way. I kept an open mind. I was more focused on 9/11,
Okay.
and you know, the whole global war on terror because I thought that that was much more relevant. So you know, I just didn't really pursue it, to tell you the truth. And then, like I said, once I started listening to your show and really looking into it. You know, I quickly came to the conclusion that this thesis is completely garbage. And you know, I started, well, for instance, I bought the Hitler and Himmler Uncensored book. I read that. I bought that about 2 months ago. I actually just bought a book called Why Hitler Came into Power by Theodor Abel. Are you familiar with that book?
No.
It's a fascinating book. I bought it on Saturday and I'm about halfway done with it already. The author was commissioned by Columbia University to go over to Germany shortly after Adolf Hitler came to power, and he sponsored. They basically had a contest where any member of the NSDAP that was a member prior to Hitler gaining power could submit an essay talking about why they wanted to join the party and sort of their experience, their background, their education, stuff like that. And it's really a really fascinating book, and it kind of just shows about it really just demonstrates that Hitler appealed to everybody. I mean, it wasn't a lot of people, you know, especially in the mainstream, make the NSDAP seem that it's, you know, sort of a lower middle class, you know, kind of like an, I guess, what would you want to say? A lot of ignorant people buying into it, you know,
Sure.
and that's totally not true at all. I mean, Hitler touched pretty much all of German society and really united everybody. So I read that. I've read some other stuff. I read a lot of their propaganda and their pamphlets and their speeches and stuff like that. And so I put together this post, just sort of laying out my rethinking of Hitler and National Socialism. And like I said, one of the first things that really was interesting to me was reading that quote from the Hitler and Himmler Uncensored about how he was really trying to establish a meritocratic system. And you know, his basically one of the things that I've come to the conclusion is that National socialism is the exact opposite and the antithesis of plutocratic Jewish capitalism and Jewish communism. I mean, basically, he was against both of these systems, which were how the Allies were governed. So that just goes to show why they had to destroy the man and his movement, is because he represented the greatest threat to their new world order. That's kind of the first part that I talk about in the article, and just kind of going over how the fake Holocaust of European Jews and all the other atrocities attributed to Hitler and the Nazis were the exact opposite, and the Allies were responsible for the real Holocaust and other crimes against humanity during World War II. I also talked about Veronica Clark's article, The Demystification of the Birth and Funding of the NSDAP.
Wonderful article.
Which is, she lays it all out right there. And, it's quite clear if anybody reads it, how the party was founded and who was financing it. And, this book that I mentioned, The Why Hitler Came into Power, gets into that even more detail. So this idea that Hitler was, a Rothschild agent or something like that is just completely baseless.
Right. And we also have books that have been written about how Wall Street happened to finance him, and which is just a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one of the other things. It's, you either have the mainstream version of history where Hitler was this evil maniac that wanted to kill all the Jews and wanted to take over the world, or you have, the conspiracy industry version of Hitler, where he's this Rothschild puppet, or he's a Jew, or the National Socialists were a bunch of homosexuals, or, the list is endless. And I the second article that I wrote just a few days ago, I kind of go through and debunk a lot of these things, a lot of these theories about Hitler and the National Socialists. I think that there's a lot of lessons we can learn from his movement. I mean, a lot of people just act like Hitler just one day came to power or was, put in power by the Jews or the bankers or the Illuminati, when in fact he struggled for over 14 years to build his movement. He was put in prison for a year. I think it was a year and a half or so. He dedicated his entire life, not only him, but many people that were in the party, dedicated their entire lives to this movement, because they cared about their country and they cared about their people and they cared about truth and justice and honor. And I mean, for people to slander Hitler when, he was one of the only successful movements to really challenge the forces of the New World Order is just a gross distortion of history. And it really gets me upset, to tell you the truth, Deanna.
Right. Yes, I'm looking at your article now, and I looked at it earlier today, and who would have thought did you ever think that you would have this respect for what he did, say, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I realize that this is a major, major obstacle for anybody to overcome, is to really think critically and honestly about this period of history, because we are subjected to so much propaganda, from the time we're children in school, in movies. It's always Hitler was this evil maniac, and it really is tough to get over. But like I said, once I looked into 9/11 and realized that, Israel and Jews basically did it, I've tried to keep an open mind about everything. And I've, shortly after I started looking into 9/11, you immediately run into evidence that the Holocaust is a major fraud. If the Holocaust was a fraud, if 9/11 was a fraud, maybe everything they say about Hitler was a fraud. That's sort of the mindset that I've taken. And sure enough, it's exactly right. I mean, these guys had the Jewish problem figured out. They were not these psychopathic killers that wanted to kill all the Jews. They wanted them out of Europe because they basically destroyed Europe. And they subverted their governments. They corrupted their societies. Hitler and the National Socialists were done with them. They wanted them out of Europe, and I don't blame them.
Right. I don't blame them either.
Yeah.
When you think of this country, it makes you kind of wonder, what would our country be like under those same circumstances?
Yeah, exactly right. And one of the other things is that, just sort of rethinking, Adolf Hitler and the NSDAP is it, I mean, I read, I listened to, Carolyn Jaeger had a radio program about the last political testament of Adolf Hitler before he committed suicide. And it was really interesting. I read the political testament and I, put a little excerpt of it on the, on this blog post. And it really just shows you Hitler was an honest man. One of the things that I have highlighted here, in these 3 decades that he's talking about his struggle to gain power and, lead the German people, basically to reestablish their, the dignity that they had lost after World War I. He says, in these 3 decades, love and loyalty to my people have guided all my thoughts, actions, and my life. And he talks about how the war was wanted and provoked solely by international statesmen, either of Jewish origin or working for Jewish interests. And I mean, I think those are just those are just absolutely 100% true statements that really can't be denied, if you ask me.
Right.
So I mean, that's sort of the thing that I've come to realize is that Hitler was an honest man. He cared about his country, he cared about his people, and he recognized the enemy and he made moves against the enemy effectively. And that's why it's so ridiculous for people to bash him, because who other than Hitler, has had a successful movement to, deal with the Jewish bankers? I mean, very few. I mean, Hitler was probably the most successful out of anybody, but I'm talking modern history.
Right. Well, he is the most successful person that has ever done this. He had the courage to do it. He kicked them out of the country, refused their loans. Basically, not only that, but recreated the economy in Germany, put people to work. Well, in this country, the Depression was still raging. Roosevelt was had so many communists in his administration. The government was completely taken over. By a foreign element, and yet in Germany, everything was moving forward. People were working, they were eating, people were able to even buy a car, a Volkswagen. Plus, they had all of these wonderful infrastructure projects going on that put people to work, and there was interest-free money.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, he truly cared about his people and his country, unlike, the puppets and the fraudsters we have in the United States today. And not only the United States, but really around the Western world anyways.
Right.
I mean, it's just so pathetic looking at these politicians, and they're just absolutely stooges for the Jews. And it's just so obvious that how anybody cannot recognize this at this point is simply beyond me. I mean, really, their propaganda and their brainwashing have done such a powerful job. And one of the things is that it's constantly reinforced. I mean, if you were watching anything on TV, if you were watching anything in the mainstream, and you're not thinking critically, you are being affected by Jewish propaganda. There's no way around it.
Right, there's no such thing as value-free entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, if you're not willing to use your brain and think critically about these things, then you're definitely not going to be a helping hand in this struggle that you and others are undertaking to set the record straight, and not only to set the record straight, but eventually regain control of our country.
Right. Now we're so used to the politicians in this country for a very, very, very long time being under the control of the Jews. And so when you have people, the gatekeepers, and there are a lot of gatekeepers, and you mentioned a few of them in your most recent article or in the original one, you talked about Anthony Sutton and a few other people. If the people in the so-called truth movement feel that he is just like any of the other politicians, that the Jews controlled him, then you're just going to think he's a typical politician, and you're not going to look into the economic policies that he initiated. And so that is what the gatekeeper's biggest objective is in telling us that, oh, he was a Rothschild or that he was a Jewish pawn, is because then you'll just stop looking at what he did and figure he's just like all the rest of them.
Yeah, their biggest fear is people actually looking into what he did and what he said and the moves he made against the Jews. Because yeah, I mean, he was, in my opinion, he was the greatest threat to the excuse me, to the New World Order. that we've seen in modern history, and they're scared to death of him because they knew what he did was, you know, on the right track to solve this problem, and that's why they had to destroy him. That's why the Jew controlled allies ganged up on him, destroyed his country, firebombed his cities, and after the fact, completely slandered him in the media. You know, they had the show trials at Nuremberg, which are just an absolute joke, and a complete injustice. So that's where a lot of these rumors come from about, you know, either the medical experiments or the Holocaust or all these other lies about Hitler and in Germany in World War II. A lot of these lies come from the Nuremberg trials. It's just really, we got to have an open mind about this and really do our homework to really understand these things.
Exactly. And of course, that's why they keep vilifying him, to keep reinforcing that so that we will simply not look at what he did. And when you think about the denazification program in Germany, where even the Germans, unless they're the older ones who still remember and still recognize the truth, the Germans of today basically buy into all of the propaganda, and it's very unfortunate. And of course, the Allies and the other the Allies took over Germany. They were there for several years. They redid the country. I mean, we still have U.S. Bases over there, and it is an occupied country. As is all the rest that have U.S. military bases in them.
Exactly. And you know, this is something that I haven't explored in great detail, is the whole denazification process and, you know, what they did to Germany after World War II. So hopefully I'll be able to to start investigating that in the weeks ahead and, you know, maybe write something about it.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's really important subject to really set the record straight, because like I said, there's just been so much propaganda and disinformation promoted by all sorts of people, you know, people that think that they're, you know, patriots and, you know, they're fighting the New World Order and they're still promoting these Jewish lies about Hitler and National Socialist Germany and World War II in general. And you know, I think that we need the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and we shouldn't be afraid to speak it, and we shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be afraid to confront these issues. And anybody that's bashing Hitler as, you know, their primary goal in life is serving the Jews. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, anybody that projects the crimes of the Jews onto Adolf Hitler is, you know, promoting the New World Order. There's no other way around it.
Right. And it's amazing that if you really start to look at both sides, and it's absolutely essential that people do this. But when you start to read and you start to look at the other side, you do find the truth. So people who have been in the movement for a long time, some of the people that you've mentioned, and if they are still saying, oh, the Nazis did this and the Nazis did that, then you have to kind of wonder, are they not researching this? Are they covering it up? What is their agenda? And of course, we do know that the publishing industry is largely owned by the very people that you were talking about, the Jews.
Yeah, exactly right.
And so we do have in the truth movement, we have a whole group of people who basically promote this Nazi the Nazi bashing.
Yeah, in fact, I know we kind of bash on Alex Jones quite a bit, but one of the contests that he had recently was where people could submit like a poster of Barack Obama, and all of them were Barack Obama, you know, photoshopped looking like Adolf Hitler, and it's just it's just so absurd and so ridiculous. And a lot of people in this, you know, the Patriot movement buy into this stuff. I mean, they really believe these lies about Hitler.
Right.
And it's just absurd.
ZCF had a little poster that he had on his website before they took it down. And I said, why don't you submit that to Jones's contest? I don't know whether he did or not, but
Hopefully he did. I know for sure they wouldn't appreciated that, but
Do you find that there seems to be kind of an upswing in this Nazi bashing?
I do kind of notice that. I sent you an I think I sent you an article the other day. It was over at Veterans Today,
Right.
and yeah, it was kind of getting into the Nazis came over here and worked for the CIA and took over the government.
Oh, right. Janet
Yeah.
Phelan.
Yeah, I mean th this sort of thesis or perspective, and it's just so silly. It's so absurd. If the Nazis were in power, why are Jews controlling the banks? Why are Jews running the government? Why are Jews enacting all this tyrannical legislation? Why did Jews do 9/11 if the Nazis are really running the world and running America? I mean,
And the
it's just
CIA.
exactly. It's just cover. It's just more cover for the Jews. It's more Jewish propaganda that we have to reject and we have to expose it.
Right. And I think that they are ramping up their efforts because they feel like we might be catching on to things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, programs like yours, Zion Crime Factory, Jonathan Azaziah, The Ugly Truth, we're starting to make some headway. We're starting to, definitely set the record straight on some of these things. And, I think the powers that be are definitely noticing that. So, and they're scared to death of the truth. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. They cannot have the truth come out, because if they did, then their game's over. I mean, that their whole entire Jew world order is based on lies. It's based on the Holocaust. It's based on the lies about Hitler and World War II. It's based on 9/11. And the more and more we can expose these events as, basically Jewish lies and Jewish frauds, then their game's over with. If they can't get people to believe their propaganda, their power is gone. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Right. Now, in your article, you talked about the big lie technique,
Right.
and you ask a question. Why did Hitler perfectly describe the big lie technique used by the Jews to advance their New World Order? And basically, whenever we hear this big lie technique described within the truth movement, people make it sound like it was Hitler and the NSDAP that actually created this technique, when in fact, if you go to the his book Mein Kampf, you discover that he was evaluating what the Allies were doing, what Great Britain, what Britain was doing, what the United States was doing, and they both had propaganda departments before World War I. Then you find that he finishes talking about it and describes that it was the Jews who created this, and that that Germany had to look to their enemies to figure out how to do this. And yet, you always find these unfinished sentences, but then when you go back and you look and you see what was actually taken out of context, it tells a completely different story.
Yeah, exactly. Hitler really nailed this in Mein Kampf. And one of the things about the Germans and Hitler was they were just too honest. They were honest people, and the Jews are not. The Jews are, basically that they use lies to advance their agenda. And in this quote that I have here from Mein Kampf, he describes this technique perfectly. And one of the most interesting parts of it that stood out to me was I'll just read it real quick. He says, even though the facts which prove this to be may be brought clearly to their minds, they will still doubt and waver and will continue to think that there may be some other explanation. And he's describing how people, even when they're confronted with the facts about how, for instance, 9/11 was an inside job done by Israel and Jews in the United States, even though they know that this is true, they still cannot grasp it and they still cannot deal with it psychologically because it's just such a big lie. And the Jews have really mastered this skill. You've talked about Freud and all the Jewish psychologists and how they've really studied how the human psyche works, and they manipulate it perfectly. I mean, that's their greatest strength, is their manipulation of people's thoughts and their propaganda.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
Hitler understood this and explained it clearly in Mein Kampf. So, I mean, if this guy was some puppet of the Jews, why is he explaining their big lie technique perfectly in his book. I mean, it's just so absurd that people still promote this.
Exactly. And it's very interesting. You brought up an interesting point, which Schopenhauer also brought up. He said, all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as being self-evident. And I think when people are looking for the truth, and you present it, they might think, oh, that's not true. That is just not true at all. And then they oppose it, and then they accept it, well, as if basically it was self-evident. Have you done that? Have you gone through those three stages?
I've really always had an open mind, especially, like I said, especially after looking into 9/11. So I mean, for me, it hasn't really been so much of a problem, but I mean, yeah, you can definitely see that in a lot of people. You know, for instance, when I was down at the Occupy protest, I went down there a couple times and I made a big sign, a double-sided sign, and on one side it said "Israel behind 9/11" in quotes, and I had you know, Dr. Alan Sobrowski, U.S. Marine. I was basically paraphrasing an article that he wrote, and you know, I was walking around talking to people, showing everybody my sign and stuff, and you could just see the, you know, the cognitive dissonance on their face. You know, they looked at it and they immediately, you know, their eyes avert and they don't want to grasp that idea because they know it's true, but you know, they're just so psychologically programmed to think the exact opposite, that Muslims did 9/11. You know, it's really hard for people to deal with, I think.
Right.
So,
and I personally think that that this whole Muslim operation also included installing a president that people could claim is Muslim, and then have that president do a bunch of very, very egregious things, so that it could increase that outrage that so many people, so many Americans feel against Muslims. What do you think?
I mean, that definitely makes a lot of sense to me. And you know, one of the things I think that we're going to see, I think we are going to see Mitt Romney get elected. Selected, basically. I mean, the elections are a joke. But I mean, I think they're definitely trying to ramp that up. You know, you see Fox News and some of these other, you know, neocon, Jewish-controlled mainstream media outlets, you know, really pushing all this anti-Obama propaganda. And I mean, some of it's true. You know, the man is a tyrant. You know, he's basically institutionalized all of the crimes against humanity, basically, that George Bush, you know, first enacted. You know, he's covered up all of the torture and has continued it. He's continued the drone program. He's expanded all of our wars. I mean, Obama is a tyrant. He's a war criminal that, you know.
Well, he's been working for the Jews ever since 2004 when they recruited him in New York and started paying to put him in power, you know, down the road. The fact that they have this operation going on where, you know, there are certain people that say, oh, yeah, he's a Muslim and we've got to be careful because he's going to institute Sharia law and just all this nonsense to play on the hatred that some people have for the Muslims. And I don't know, I like with this health care thing, the Obama health care that the Supreme Court passed or said, you know, said okay to. I think that this is part of a Hegelian dialectical kind of a thing. I think that people are so outraged over that. I think they had another plan in place, and then they put this one through, and then Romney, probably Romney will come in and get rid of this one and give us something that they wanted us to accept to begin with, but we would not have accepted it without the Obama healthcare thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes a lot of sense to me. And it would just go perfectly with the, you know, what they've done in the past. I mean, they've basically played both sides and, you know, created these, you know, excuse me, these two sides that, people react against, and then they fall right into their trap every time.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, that definitely makes a lot of sense to me, but I think they're going to put Romney in there. It's just my speculation, but Romney is going to lead us into even more wars, and who knows? They'll probably even try staging another, false flag attack to blame Iran. And I mean, these people are
They
psychopaths.
are.
There's no other way around it. These people are absolutely psychopathic.
Definitely. And the people that they put in office are their minions.
Right. Yeah.
And of the same nature, psychopathic. Interesting.
Exactly right. One thing I did want to mention, a lot of the feedback that I've been getting from people that, continue to bash Hitler on my blog is that, he was really the founder of Israel and really helped establish the state of Israel by, kicking all the Jews out and sending them to Palestine. And this is one of the things that I addressed in the second article that I wrote, The More Thoughts About Adolf Hitler and National Socialism. And I kind of just go through and try to debunk this. And I think I did a pretty good job, from the beginning. And actually, one thing that I heard you mention the other day, I was listening to your interview with Dennis Fetcho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that the other day, and I didn't even realize this. You mentioned how Napoleon originally promised Palestine to the Jews back in,
1802. Or no, 1799.
I was gonna say,
Yep.
so yeah, we have Napoleon promising Palestine to the Jews, then we have the British promising Palestine to the Jews, and the entire time Hitler, well, not even Hitler, but Germany in general, Germany never once promised the Jews any state of their own. I mean, Germany's goal was getting the Jews out of Europe, well, in
Right.
Germany in particular, and then, eventually all of Europe. And, like I said, I say in here, they did in fact collaborate with Zionist organizations and factions that promoted Jewish immigration to Palestine, and they even entered into economic agreements with these organizations to not only facilitate immigration of Jews from Germany, but also to bolster German exports. So, I mean, it was kind of a two-way street that they were working with this arrangement.
Sure.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is that Germany never wanted or advocated for or supported an independent Jewish state in Palestine.
Right. In 1897, they approached Kaiser Wilhelm, and he said, "No, absolutely not. I can't support this."
Exactly right. And Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review has a pretty good article on this subject called Zionism and the Third Reich. And I put a little excerpt of this in this blog post. And one of the things he says is that German backing for Zionism was limited to support for a Jewish homeland in Palestine under British control. So they did not want a sovereign Jewish state. It was strictly limited to, a Jewish homeland in Palestine under British control. And I mean, like I keep emphasizing, they wanted the Jews out of Europe. I mean, that was their primary concern. And they even recognized that an independent Jewish state would just be an additional power base for international Jewry. And in fact, Adolf Hitler once again nailed this one, in Mein Kampf. I mean, Adolf Hitler had this stuff figured out. So, I mean, that's why they don't want you to read his stuff or really look at where he was coming from, because he really had this figured out.
Right.
And he basically described exactly what an independent Jewish state would look like. It would be, a safe haven for convicted scoundrels and a university for budding crooks. I mean, I have the quote right there, right from Mein Kampf. And I mean, it's just he nailed it. He had this figured out. So
Exactly.
this idea that Hitler was the founder of Israel is just absurd. I mean, we should be blaming the British and the Americans. The Americans and the Soviet Union recognized the state of Israel after they proclaimed their independence immediately. I mean, this is who recognized Israel. It wasn't the Nazis. It wasn't Hitler. I mean, this idea is just completely a major distortion of history, saying that Hitler was the founder of Israel.
Right. I'm just going through some of the comments on from this you have 57 comments, and I'm just going through them really quickly here.
Yeah. And one thing I want to make clear is, I'm certainly not a scholar on any of this stuff. I've just I've tried to do my homework and read up on it and you know, really study the subject. And I think a lot of the stuff that I've written about here is pretty well backed up and pretty well, you know, sourced. So, you know, I'm open for, you know, other perspectives and stuff like that. But I mean, I got somebody on here leaving all these comments that are is just basically trolling my blog.
Yes, so, by the name of Anonymous.
Of course, they're always anonymous. Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I mean, yeah, you know, I have no problem, you know, debating other people and you know, engaging in a dialogue. That's fine, but.
Well, yeah. I believe you have some trolls here.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
this one, Hitler was a warmonger who believed in invasions. Okay, and where does he get this? From the Jewish press.
Exactly, and I clearly debunked this in the post. I mean, that's the thing. It's like some of these people didn't even read what I wrote.
Right.
I mean, number three in this post. Hitler did not start World War II. He was not a warmonger. Hitler wanted to rebuild Germany. He wanted to, you know, he wanted work and peace. There's a book, if you just do a Google search, Adolf Hitler, Work and Peace.
Right.
And you can find the PDF right online. I have it linked in this blog post. You know, like I said, he wanted to rebuild Germany. They were completely destroyed and devastated after World War I. And, you know, he had a, like, I know you and Veronica have talked about all the infrastructure projects and, you know, the education system and, you know, all the other measures that he took to really rebuild the society and rebuild the economy. The last thing he wanted was a world war.
Exactly.
The Jews needed to basically get their puppet allies to gang up on him to destroy his movement because he was challenging the New World Order.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't think there's really any other way around that. I mean, I'm not sure if you could really convince me. I mean, there's one commenter on this on here that goes by W. He's got actually a really interesting blog, and he really buys this Hitler was a Rothschild puppet or whatever. And, you know, he's raised some interesting points. I haven't had a chance to respond to him, but, you know, I think the blog post pretty much speaks for itself.
Yes, I think so also. And I think that sometimes you do yourself a disservice by responding to these people because they're trying to engage you. They are trying to discredit you and engage you in an argument. And they're never going... See, when you argue with people who have already made up their mind, you're never going to change their mind because they are too ignorant to do the research themselves, but they are using the same old arguments against what you were saying. I wouldn't even bother to argue with them.
Yeah, no, I probably, you know, I'm not going to respond to all these anonymous people, but to W, I'll probably respond to because, you know, I do respect him. He does have a pretty interesting blog, but I mean, we definitely obviously disagree on this Hitler subject.
Yes, but, and that is a subject I think that you will find that people will disagree with you on because they are so brainwashed. I mean, as we said before, they've gotten it in school, they've gotten it from their history books, they've gotten it from their parents, they've gotten it from even at church.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah, you name one place where they've gotten the truth about it, and you can't think of one. I mean, you're basically, a voice in the wilderness here.
Yeah, no, I know exactly. You're exactly right. And that's why, you know, if, you know, when people that have never even considered this perspective about Hitler and World War II in general, and they read something like this, they're going to be completely thrown off. You know, it's like major cognitive dissonance because, like I've said, the entire mainstream narrative of World War II is literally the exact opposite.
Right, and we've had the court historians who were embedded in Germany, embedded in Europe, who then came back, wrote the history the way that it was supposed to be, well, according to the Rockefeller Foundation, and so you are going to have people who are going to ridicule you, who are then going to violently oppose you. And then if they ever get around to doing any of the research themselves, then they're going to accept it. as being, oh, well, of course, it's self-evident. And it does become self-evident after you've done your own research.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I would really encourage, I mean, I think pretty much anybody that's going to be listening to this, you know, listening to our conversation is either on board with us or, you know, is definitely partisan to this idea. But I mean, all you have to do is read what Hitler wrote. Read his, listen to some of his speeches. Look at some of the, you know, the National Socialist propaganda that you know, they were trying to, you know, distribute to the Germans. You know, read about their history of how the party was formed and all the struggles that they went through to establish their party. I mean, it's all right there. All it takes is a little bit of, you know, reading and an open mind.
Right.
And all this stuff will be crystal clear. I mean, these guys had they had the Jewish problem figured out. You know, they were bold, they were courageous, they were, you know, determined. And, you know, it's really, I look at them as, you know, righteous, noble warriors against the New World Order. I mean, there's really no other way around it, if you ask me.
Right. And you had Britain, France, Russia, all the major powers over there. And then you had the United States come in to World War II.
Exactly.
I mean, what does that tell you? And they are all fighting against Germany?
Exactly.
It doesn't add up here. And Hitler wanted to have peace. He begged for peace. He's not the one that started the bombing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that, you know, you and Veronica have talked about quite a bit is how many concessions he was trying to make to the UK. It sounds like he was really trying to form an alliance with the British, or not necessarily an alliance, but, you know, he was trying to come to some sort of agreement or arrangement with them.
Sure.
Because he, you know, he respected them in a lot of ways, you know, as being, you know, I guess Europeans.
But, sure.
And like I said, I think one of the major downfalls of Hitler and Germany was that they were honest. I mean, they were honest fighters, and they were dealing with a bunch of crooked Jews, basically.
Right.
So that don't fight fair. You know, they use lies and slanders and, you know,
well,
false flag events.
This whole Germany issue started long before Hitler came to power. It started before World War I. So it isn't an issue of Hitler. It is an issue against Germany from 1848. And
right. Right.
Even that early, they understood that there was a really big issue here. And so the German people themselves, the reason they responded to Hitler was because of their own character and because of the experiences that they had with the foreign element within their country. And they are the first, some of the, like Frankfurt, was one of the first city-states that awarded emancipation to the Jews. And then the Jews basically turned around and stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And one of the points that I know you've made before, and one of the points that's made in this book, Why Hitler Came into Power, you know, in these German supporters of the NSDAP, in their own words, is that the German people are not revolutionaries. You know, they're not communists. They were definitely well, not all of them. I mean, some of them definitely, you know, fell victim to the communist propaganda. But you know, for the most part, they were nationalists. And they cared about their country and you know, they cared about their families and their people.
Right.
And that's what they were about. And that is the biggest threat to international Jewish power, is people that care about their people and they care about their country and their families and their friends.
Right.
You know, that's how, you know, the United States is so destroyed, because we're so individualistic. You know, all we care about is making money and, you know, buying a car, whatever the case is. You know, everybody's so caught up in all this material, you know, bull crap, and nobody wants to, you know, really learn anything or do anything of substance. Everything is, you know, just completely distorted by the Jews, really. I mean,
sure.
That's what's doing it.
Sure. Through the entertainment, particularly
yeah.
All, you know, the diversion. And the
sports
and all
entertainment.
the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And the entertainment, the quote unquote entertainment, is just so garbage. It's almost satanic when I watch TV. It's like just absolutely disgusting. It's everything's about sex and oh man, I mean even stuff on mainstream television at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it's these different TV shows, they're just absolutely garbage. And people that watch that and they don't recognize this are being influenced. I mean,
Right.
they're being manipulated.
Yes, it's a demoralization of the culture. It's kind of like
Definitely.
Weimar Germany all over again.
Exactly. And this is something that Hitler recognized.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I know you guys have talked about his experiences in Vienna and, how just prostitution was rampant, and there's just a really degeneracy of society. And I think that's exactly what America is today. I mean,
Sure.
America is such a degenerate culture. It's disgusting. I mean, it's shameful.
It is very shameful.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that that's the kind of culture that they impose. For instance, in Iraq, they left the theaters. They didn't bomb the theaters so that they could start showing American films and garbage in the theaters there to demoralize the young man.
And not only that, they're introducing pornography,
Sure.
and they've done that in Palestine too. They've introduced pornography into Palestinian society, or tried to anyways. It's just this is what the Jews do. I mean, this is what they've done throughout history. This is what they're doing today. And if you can't recognize that, you're never going to be a part of this struggle. As let me see if I can find the quote from what Hitler said. Basically said, those who do not realize the truth, of that statement, or do not wish to believe it, will never be able to lend a hand in helping truth to prevail. I mean, if you can't recognize that the organized Jewish community, is causing all these problems, you will never be able to help us out in prevailing over them. I
Right,
mean, we
which
got to
goes back to that those 4 steps that you said.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, we got to understand that the organized Jewish community has been at war and remains at war basically against the entire world, but in particular the United States and Western Europe. Well,
Right.
Europe in general. In my opinion, I mean, they've tried to destroy, well, they have destroyed our societies, our cultures. They're the ones that are behind multiculturalism, all this immigration, the degeneracy we see in our entertainment industry and our educational system. They are the force pushing all this stuff, and we have to recognize it. It's gone on for so long, and it's so obvious now. I mean, we have the internet. There's good information, and people got to snap out of it. That's what it boils down to. People have got to snap out of it.
Right.
So.
Well, this has been very interesting, very revealing, and I really appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's truly an honor to speak with you, Deanna. Like I said, I love your work, and yeah, I look forward to doing this again if we ever get a chance.
Oh, let's do it.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.